Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Hey, everybody. Happy New Year and welcome to 2018.
You are shouting.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm not shouting.
It's because he feels like he's far away from the mic.
I do. The mic is so far away right now. I am Derek, one of the regular hosts of Screen Heroes. I have my other wonderful, lovely regular hosts, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
Ray is all bundled up.
That's because it's 0 degrees down here.
It's not 0 degrees.
It's at least 3. Okay.
I can't see my breath, so...
All right, well, I've been cold all day. At my office, I sit right next to a window, and it's kept at a brisk, like, 50 degrees in the office, so I'm pretty cold all day long, so...
Fair enough. Well, we are back, and it's a new year.
Yep.
We took some time off. We took a week off.
We did. How was your holidays, guys?
I was sick. I'm still a little sick. My voice probably sounds a little off.
Okay, how was your holiday,
it sounds
Ryan?
Sounds sultry. I like it.
Hey, baby.
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't really do anything super special, family stuff, and I spent New Year's with you guys
until
I got to my old man time and had to go home.
That's
your old man. You had to work.
It's fine. So John from Gamer Heroes, Ian from Casa Couture, and John's wife Hillary, they just stuck around until midnight, and literally at like 12:02 they left.
Yeah.
So.
No, it wasn't that fast. We played some Munchkin.
Yeah.
And when Munchkin was over, people left.
Everybody was like, "And we're done."
I'm kind of sad I missed that because I love Munchkin. It's one of my favorite games.
It was a good game. Hillary, who's never played before, won.
Yeah, she came out of nowhere, too.
I was winning, and then Ray, John, and Ian teamed up and made me lose.
Yeah.
So, that's the only way to beat me in a board game, by the way, is to have, you know, 60% of the teams team up against me.
I'll say the only time I've ever won Munchkin in my life was against you guys. So.
That's true.
It was also the first time I played, I think. But
second time. I think we played one game before.
Yeah, because I won the first game.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Steampunk pack is great, by the way.
Yeah.
It got some really cool stuff.
We're not sponsored by these guys.
No, we just have fun playing it.
We're hoping they'll send us some free expansions for doing this, but...
Ooh.
Of course, so Ray got me the sci-fi space expansion, Star Munchkin.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it for the life of me to add it to the new, because it was brand new, I hadn't added it to the decks yet. And of course, as I'm going to bed that night, I found it.
So we'll have to play with that one.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
But yeah, so we are going to be talking about our 2017 predictions to see how accurate we were.
Just a quick wrap up.
Review.
Yeah.
And then we're going to give our 2018 predictions.
Yes.
For this brand new year that we're only two days into.
Yes.
All right. So where do you want to start us off?
Okay, so we talked about the highest grossing movie of the year being The Last Jedi. I'm not sure if that was the case, if it was or not.
So this is where it gets kind of sketchy. It was if you count New Year's Day.
Interesting. Okay.
If you don't count New Year's Day.
Then what else was it?
Then it was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, geez.
I think.
I never would have thought
that. I think
that.
It's fair to assume Star Wars. I mean, because Beauty and the Beast had how many, you know, weeks to get that? Star Wars didn't have that many. So.
I mean, Star Wars did get beat by Jumanji this past weekend.
Last weekend, yeah. But I'm talking about its overall, because I'm sure we're talking about the overall numbers.
We are. We're talking about the overall numbers.
And Last Jedi only got, what, 3 weeks?
It did.
Or 2 weeks run in December?
Three.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah, I got a three week run.
I mean, it's still in theaters. So in 2017, it only got 3 weeks, whereas the other movies we're comparing it to got a full run.
Yeah.
So
either way, all three of us said that the film we were most anticipating was Wonder Woman, and Ryan actually made the comment that it was going to be a slow burn, that the fans would go first, and if it was good, more people would join in, and that was exactly what happened.
I get one right every now and then.
Wait, what? Say it again?
That he said that Wonder Woman was going to be a slow burn, that fans would go immediately, and if it was good, other people would follow suit. And that was exactly what happened, and had a really long run in theaters. I think there are still some theaters out there showing it, even though it's in, like, it's on Blu-ray and DVD now. So, you know, well done on that one, sir.
Thank you.
We all kind of predicted that Justice League was going to come in not as a complete disappointment, but just under Wonder Woman. We all had the opinion that Wonder Woman was going to be the better one, and Justice League would come in after it. Quality-wise. Yeah. None of us predicted the finances on it, so there's no way to say that.
It never would have occurred to me that Wonder Woman would have beaten out Justice League financially.
I will say this. Derek predicted that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was going to be the best Marvel film this year.
And I'm pretty sure I said Thor Ragnarok.
You said you were most excited for Thor Ragnarok based on the director alone. Okay.
And that turned out to be very
I said that I was going to have to defend Thor against you too, and I didn't have to because of that. But all of us said that Spider-Man 2 was going to be our in the middle one. So if we were ranking them, Spider-Man 2 was in the middle. And that's kind of how it was. Like,
For those who listen, it's hard for me to care about Spider-Man anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
So.
That's exactly what you said 1 year ago today.
I'm consistent.
For television shows, none of us got it right on shows that had seasons. Four more seasons were canceled. You had said Arrow was going to be canceled. You had said Gotham, and I said Once Upon a Time.
For those who are not watching.
Sorry about that. All three of those shows got renewed, and they continue today.
One of them had a good season. I don't know about the other two. I don't watch Once Upon a Time, but
it
Arrow,
amazing.
I can definitively say, at least through the first half, has not had a good season. So
you like where Once Upon a Time has kind of gone with the recast and everything. So
I do. I think if this works out, they have figured out how to hit the reset button to get to a 50-year franchise like Star Trek and Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they'll do it, but they have the potential. They have figured out a proper reset button. So that's
a tough thing to do.
It works in canon. It's totally possible. The doors are open for them. I did, however, get the new show that would be canceled correct. I said that Powerless was going to be canceled.
Yeah, that's sad. I like that show.
Yeah. Disappointing.
It just had a rocky first couple of episodes, and sadly, people didn't stick around, including myself.
Now, what's interesting is some of our predictions for 2017 may have been different if we had known certain things. For example, I had no idea the Orville was a thing when we made our 2017 predictions. And I love it. I want to preface this. I love it. But if I had seen the original promo for it, I probably would have guessed it would be canceled because it's a Fox TV show.
Yeah.
That's kind of risky. But it's great, and it got renewed for season two, which is cool. But
there was a lot of cool stuff that happened this year in media that we didn't think was going to happen. You know, they announced a female doctor.
In Doctor Who.
She just had her first appearance, and, you know, people already adore her. So that was really cool, pretty groundbreaking in sci-fi itself. We all kind of had our thoughts about, trying to think on it. Oh, we talked about what things were going to be rebooted this year or announced as a reboot. And Ryan and I both said that we wanted to hear a Masters of the Universe reboot. You wanted live action. I said I preferred cartoon. Kind of got that with a She-Ra reboot.
And He-Man got a release date.
It did.
Masters of the Universe got a release date.
It did, so we both kind of got that.
December something 2019.
The movie.
Yeah.
You said Captain Planet.
I was wishful thinking.
Yeah. Well, so was He-Man, honestly.
At the time, Captain Planet had been announced as a movie that Leonardo DiCaprio was going to produce. It has now been scrapped.
I know.
There's a surprise.
The weird thing is, if I had guessed Transformers, that would be right, because there's a new Transformers show coming out.
It is.
That's a total, like, reset on the design.
There's
back
a new
to the
Teenage
old.
Mutant Ninja Turtle show coming out, too. It's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ben Schwartz from John Ralphio is going to play Leonardo.
The new Transformers looks really cool, and they still have a lot of the old voice actors returning from the original animated movie,
mm-hmm.
and they look like themselves. So it's pretty neat. I might actually check that one out. But.
Well, you both were correct on biggest box office flop, or just what was going to be a flop that was supposed to be a big box office. You said Pirates of the Caribbean 5. And you said Power Rangers.
I remember that distinctly.
Yes.
And I was very confident.
Yes.
But I still think King Arthur did worse than both of our guesses.
It probably did, but I don't think it was supposed to be as big of a blockbuster
either.
That's
probably true.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't a franchise film for yours, and Power Rangers obviously has the name Power.
I actually think they were going to try and come up with this whole Britannia universe, but that fell through. Because, I mean, there could be some cool stuff in there. Merlin and Morgan.
We can't release a movie anymore without it being part of a universe.
So. Nope, they can't.
Even The Mummy showed that.
Yeah, well, it got shut down real
man.
Quick.
Oh, man. That has to be the biggest flop ever.
No, I think King Arthur was probably bigger, but that was.
I don't mean financial. Oh. I mean, like, they set out a roadmap. They were like, man, we're doing this movie this year and this movie, and we're getting this star and this star.
Yeah,
and then.
That movie did basically kill the plans for, like, five or six other movies.
It did, yeah.
Where King Arthur probably didn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure they wanted a sequel, right? That's how movies are made now, but. Mm-hmm. You know, The Mummy was supposed to launch the Dark Universe, and,
true.
You know, they'll probably have nothing. To totally reboot that try, so.
Or just not do it.
So.
It's wishful thinking.
but that was really it, you know, that's a nice wrap up, I believe. I think we all had some good.
So I said the best Marvel movie of the year was going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, was that
as
MCU?
A quality?
Was it MCU?
Yes,
only?
It was.
Okay,
it
so
was because we all
Thor.
We all
I think
predicted
we all
that we
Thor
liked
was the best, yeah.
Logan was going to be awesome.
I just wanted to specify.
Yeah, Logan.
If it was
I think
MCU.
I had high hopes for too.
Yeah,
but.
We all said that was going to be really good.
Personally, I would rank Logan above Thor, but they're such different movies. I think that's really
it's very hard to compare.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I can just sit down and watch Thor Ragnarok.
I'm not sure I
yeah,
can ever
I could
sit
totally
through
watch
Logan
it.
Again.
Yeah, but Logan, like I want to watch Logan again, but I have to be in the mood to like. Go through something pretty harsh.
I won't watch Logan again. Like, that's one of those movies you go to see once, it's really good, and you don't watch it again. But Thor Ragnarok, like, I could kind of step in the middle of Thor while it's on TBS or something and feel great about the movie.
If I ever want to cry in the fetal position from a film, I'll watch Logan again.
I want to watch the noir cut, the black and white
version.
I know you do,
but that might be an endeavor you go through alone. I'm just saying.
Me and Luna.
Okay.
We got this.
No, Luna will leave too. She doesn't want to be depressed.
True.
I'll give her a bone.
Okay, so let's get into this year's 2018's
all
predictions.
Right.
We've kind of scaled it back because a lot of us dropped watching some TV shows this year. We didn't pick up as many new ones as we
There's
usually do.
There's been a lot of TV shows out this year, and it's kind of been to pick and choose because you only have so much time.
And with Red Shirts and Runabouts, our Star Trek podcast, I've had to make that Star Trek Discovery a priority, and let's let other things slip.
There were two new TV shows that you and I made a priority this year, and it was American Gods and Star Trek Discovery. Mm-hmm. We watched it every release day. Now, next year's going to be different. We're going to watch Ash vs. Evil Dead probably every time it comes out.
Well, that's February, so.
It's true.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, American Gods was a bit of a surprise for me. It was much better than I anticipated, just from a production quality standpoint.
I'm incredibly disappointed that it's October. And it's supposed to release in April, and we've seen nothing from season two yet. And to hear that Fuller dropped out,
yeah,
like,
I would imagine it's going to get the Discovery treatment, and it's going to get pushed.
I'm okay if it gets pushed. I'm going to be really upset if it just gets dropped altogether.
I think the first season was too successful for Starz to drop it, or Showtime. Showtime.
No, it's Starz. Blessing. Yeah,
but I think it'll probably get pushed to the fall as I get a new showrunner. So.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's start with what we think is going to be the highest grossing. This is always a little easier for us to figure out because it's pretty much a...
This one I feel like is kind of simple.
I only feel like it could be one of
what
two
are we
films.
We're doing highest grossing film.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're
I don't
all
think there's
have
even
the
two
answer.
Films that are possible. I think there's one. If this one wasn't coming out, there's another one that would be the highest grossing film. But I don't think there's going to be competition.
No, I mean it's Infinity War,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like, I mean, by a long shot.
Yeah.
Because the only Star Wars movie is Han Solo.
I don't think Solo will do it. That wasn't it. I think that it could possibly be Fantastic Beasts.
Oh no. It's, for me, it was Harry Potter Jurassic World destroys.
Yeah, but Fantastic Beasts 1 did not do anywhere near as well as a movie like an Avengers.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was my vote for the second highest rated movie.
That's a good point.
The original Jurassic World made way more money than they thought it would. And I think that one's going to be equally as big.
They got Jeff Goldblum coming back.
I didn't like Jurassic World, but I think that movie's going to make a lot of money.
I mean, Furious 7 was terrible and made $1 billion. So, right. You know, we're not talking quality.
Right.
Right. But that's a good one.
I think that's the only one. It's not going to compete with Infinity War, but I think if Infinity War wasn't coming out, Jurassic World would be the clear...
I mean, they are far enough apart that maybe people will just see both and they'll both make a fortune.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I guess, you know, we could go that Infinity War is the obvious title. And then we can fight over second place between Solo, Fantastic Beasts, and Jurassic World.
I think Jurassic World is even close.
Yeah, I think Jurassic World. For me, I mean, Fantastic Beasts didn't make that much money compared to Jurassic World.
Dropped like 30% from the first movie to the second movie.
It would still do more than Fantastic Beasts.
I'm not just going off of the first one. I'm going off of the hype built for the second one.
Is there hype for the second one?
Yeah, the inclusion of Dumbledore.
I've seen a couple of articles about sexy Dumbledore, and that's the only thing I've seen.
I also think that there's a good number of people who are upset about Johnny Depp staying.
I agree.
As Grindelwald, and it's a little interesting for me because you kind of have a villain playing a villain for a change. Instead of an actor I love playing a villain.
Right? Like, just cast Mel Gibson and everything.
Like Tom Hiddleston. We all love Tom Hiddleston.
But he's a really nice guy in real life, it seems
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? You know, but he plays a really good Loki that we all enjoy.
But Loki isn't a you know, out and out bad guy either. He's, you know.
Depends on the day.
It's right. Magneto, you know. He flops back and forth.
Okay, so let's do something a little bit more fun this time. Let's do what you guys think will be the best animated film. This is more of a quality, but if you also have grossing, that's fine too.
No, I went off quality on this one. I said Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Oh, actually.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Okay.
Did you have the same one?
Ralph? No, yeah. I didn't.
Well, I put two options for everything in case one of you guys said it so that I would have, but Wreck-It Ralph wasn't either of my two options.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm listening.
I'm having trouble picking which one I want to go with, to be honest with you. I'm not a big Wes Anderson fan, but I think Isle of Dogs is probably going to be the best animated.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so it's basically, I wrote the synopsis down because I've seen the trailer and it looked interesting to me. I'm just not that big of a fan of Wes Anderson.
Sure.
Basically, it says, set in a dystopian future Japan in which dogs have been quarantined on the remote island due to a canine flu. Isle of Dogs follows five local dogs fed up with their isolated existence until a boy named Atari Kobayashi ventures to the island to search for his dog Spots. Atari receives their help and they will protect him from the Japanese authorities who have come to retrieve him.
Well, there's a movie everyone's gonna cry in.
Well, I think Wes Anderson movies are pretty traditionally regarded as really high quality and good movies.
Wes Anderson fans are very loyal and cultish.
This movie, if you ever watch a trailer, if I didn't tell you who directed it, you would instantly know. It's so very Wes Anderson. And
I did not know about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right.
It may fit under the radar gems quality.
That's
category that you may have.
I don't know.
You should watch the trailer if you like Wes Anderson films. I did like the one with Bill Murray. What's the one where he's like the boat captain?
Life Aquatic.
I did like that one. But most Wes Anderson
cinematography on that one was fascinating.
And I like Bill Murray, which kind of pulled me through it.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't particularly like what Wes Anderson was doing with the whole thing.
No.
Just his style is not really something I enjoy, but.
Well, that's really cool. Ray, what about yours?
Incredibles 2.
Yeah, that was my other one.
So, that's a movie that if I had to say, like, what am I most excited for, as far as animated movies, that's my number one I'm most excited for.
Okay.
I'm not sure they'll be able to pull off what 10 years of anticipation has basically built up for people. The movie...
You're saying it's going to be Duke Nukem Forever in a movie form.
No, it's not going to be bad like that, but I'm thinking it's going to be more like Finding Dory.
That's bothersome.
Where it's not bad.
That was like a cash grab. Just watching it, I was like, that was a toy, and that was created for a toy.
I mean in the way that it's just nothing really exciting and new, and it's just something that's safe and familiar. That won't make it bad. It'll make it a perfectly fine children's movie, which is, at the end of the day, what animated films are really supposed to be from Pixar, right? But that's, you know, I just think that having it be directly after the first one, ignoring the video game sequel that they've already done, is a mistake. Having not aged up any of the kids at all is a bit of a mistake. I would rather have seen something in the future or a prequel than something 5 seconds later. So
I'm going to disagree with you on that, just because before this movie was even announced, I don't know how I got sucked into this wormhole, but I was watching interviews with the guy that directed the original Incredibles and some of the people from Pixar. And he said they asked him about the potential of a sequel for Incredibles, and he said he would not do a sequel until he found a story that was right, because he thought that movie was so special in everything that it did that it was going to be incredibly difficult to make something that lives up to the standards. And I think that that's probably true, and they wouldn't be doing it if.
Well, I agree with that sentiment, right? I mean, it is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. I love The Incredibles. So I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's absolutely amazing.
You hope that in a year that Rachel's going to tell you that Ryan and I were right and you were wrong.
Yeah. Okay. I have a few things on here where I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going with my gut. And I hope I'm wrong, because I want The Incredibles 2 to be one of the best movies of the year, hands down. So.
Okay, so there are, I believe, 10 superhero films coming out in 2018, I believe, if I counted that correctly, based on stuff already announced. What do you guys think is going to be the worst
superhero movie?
Yes.
Venom.
That's what I picked too.
So I'm not convinced Venom will come out in 2018. Yeah. So I went with the Phoenix.
The Dark Phoenix.
Oh, is that coming out?
Yeah, in November.
I didn't realize that was coming out this year. Although my other movie that I had for that one is an interesting pick for that too, for worst superhero movie. So
even if Venom does come out, I don't think it's going to be as much of a train wreck, because I think it'll be a much smaller story than the Dark Phoenix saga. So, or X-Men Dark Phoenix, whatever they're calling it.
It's probably true.
It's hard for me to pick any of the MCU films this year, because I'm really hyped about all three of them.
I don't think any of the three MCU movies are going to be the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be... I mean, Black Panther and Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think, will probably end up being pretty good. Infinity War is a mess, it'll still be an entertainment delight to watch.
Absolutely.
Right?
So it's hard for me to say that. DC is so back and forth with me. Like, every single movie I watch from them, with the exception of Wonder Woman, has been a hot mess. I find things that I absolutely adore and find things that I really wish they would have cut, or that any director could have done differently and maybe it would have improved upon. So Aquaman at this point makes me really nervous.
I actually had Aquaman as my second pick, other than Venom, but I changed it at the last minute because I have a lot of faith in the director.
See, I like the director.
And Jason Momoa really is embracing the role, so I'm hoping. I mean, that this one, it's probably wrong, but just like I did with Justice League, like, I'm just putting faith into the great void out there to please give us something good.
I don't think Aquaman will be the best or the worst of the superhero movies.
Yeah, I don't have it on either of those lists.
I think it'll be good. I don't think it'll be terrible, but I don't think it's going to be amazing. I think it's a difficult thing to pull off, but if you look at the X-Men movies as a whole, I mean, most of them are not that great.
No, you're totally right.
I absolutely agree with your pick. Yeah. I think Venom, I still think, will be a contender for that title.
And that's fair. I mean, we know so little about it, other than it's Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And if that's all we know, well, Tom Hardy's a pretty great actor. Mm-hmm. So if that's the only information we have to go off of, it's hard for me to think that it's going to be bad. I think it could be postponed. I think that's likely.
You mean like that Channing Tatum Gambit movie?
Exactly like that, yeah.
That's coming out, okay.
In his basement. But like, New Mutants is so much of a departure, like Logan was. Mm-hmm. I think New Mutants will probably end up being pretty damn good.
Yeah.
My other pick that I had down on this one was Deadpool 2.
Yeah, I tossed around the idea of picking that one.
I don't think it'll be worse than Phoenix. But I think it has a potential to be... I mean, the first one was so well loved, but I have a feeling that like all the Deadpool fanboys and girls out there will flock to it and they will love it no matter what.
Look, it'll make money.
Yeah.
Right? There's no question it'll make a lot of money.
I believe that I personally will enjoy the movie more than Dark Phoenix. Just sitting there watching it, like, I don't care if it's an hour and a half of dick and fart jokes, like, I think I'll probably enjoy it more than the
Dark
Phoenix.
Well, I've ceased to look forward to any X-Men movies now.
Right? Like, so. That's so disappointing.
I am looking forward to New Mutants, so hope
New Mutants is different.
I mean, I hope I'm not setting myself up for failure.
I'm talking about, like, the X-Men-themed movies.
And I'm with you there, because, I mean, Apocalypse, I mean,
the reason why
that,
I'm looking forward to New Mutants is probably because The Gifted is so good.
That's fair. But I will say, as far as Deadpool goes, like, I don't expect Deadpool 2 to be bad, but I expect it to look not very good by comparison to the first one. Because
no.
I felt like, and it's a super cliche statement, but it was kind of like that perfect storm, lightning in a bottle BS, right? Where it was the right thing at the right time with the right people,
yeah.
And they made something special. And replicating that is not an easy
task.
Well,
I think that my thing about it is that the first one was a very simple cut and dry superhero movie. You had a bad guy, you had a good guy, and they fought. This one you have like time traveling and like somebody's Cyclops' son and like all, you know, like it's just this random group of things, you know, or grandson or whatever it is.
It could,
you know,
become complicated.
There's a lot of stuff that they're trying to do with the Cable storyline in there that could mm-hmm. really make it a huge mess. I'm sure there'll be a million Terminator jokes in it, which I'm okay with.
All right, real quick though. Will there be a Hugh Jackman cameo? A real one?
No.
Not his picture in a magazine?
No.
Well, if there is, it's not going to be as Wolverine. It's going to just going to be Hugh Jackman.
Just Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a Hugh Jackman cameo. Not Wolverine, but Hugh Jackman.
I would love it.
Playing himself.
Yeah,
Hugh
Jackman.
I would.
Maybe something like really silly, like him like practicing to perform like some musical or something.
See,
like
I'm actually
that.
Hoping that it gets really meta and there ends up being a Cal Penn reference to Van Wilder days. Like,
oh, man.
Just
I wasn't even thinking
of that. Taj in there?
Yeah.
That'd be great. But no, this is my little weird prediction. I predict a Hugh Jackman cameo in Deadpool 2.
Okay, so what do you guys think will be the best superhero film this year?
Best quality-wise?
Yeah.
Black Panther.
Same.
I had that one and I had Incredibles 2. I have a lot of faith in the people that said they wouldn't do it unless
it
was
right.
And I'm putting faith in that, which is probably a mistake. But
no, so let's talk about Black Panther. Why do you guys think that quality wise, it's going to be the best and even better than Infinity War? Just your own opinions.
I think that Marvel Studios has gotten very good at their solo films. When they have one tone, one style to focus on, they pull it off really, really well.
That seems to be the case for the last like four or five of them. They're kind of on a hot streak.
They brought Chadwick Boseman into Civil War. He's one of the best parts of the movie, if not the best part of the movie,
hands down.
Right, and that's his introduction, and it was pretty phenomenal. So to be able to see all of that, to see, you know, his backstory, his family, what he has to go through, him kind of being that king, is really different. For the MCU, kind of like, I mean, Ragnarok was very different for the MCU, and I think that's a good thing. When they stretch, when they have to do something different, they tend to pull it off really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot of faith that they're going to do that. They've got a lot of really good actors in this movie. I mean, Michael B. Jordan alone is one of my favorite newer actors. And I mean, if you haven't seen Creed, like, go see Creed.
It's funny you say that, because the reason why I'm excited about it is not only because of the actors, because they have a lot of talent there, but also in Ryan Coogler, the director of it. He also directed Creed.
He did.
And I thought that he did...
I forgot.
I thought that when I saw Creed, I was very impressed with the cinematography. It wasn't like on a scale of like Star Wars. I mean, one thing I'll say about Last Jedi was the cinematography was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
But it had its own, like, more intimate cinematography that was really beautiful. The way the fights were filmed, just some of the random shots were really well done, and I was very impressed. And a lot of times when I go to see a movie from a director that I don't know, or that's fairly new to the scene, and I see stuff like that, I really take notice, and I really did with him. And so I'm really excited with something that's as beautiful as Wakanda, yeah. And just the, you know, kind of culture and everything with what's going on in the Black Panther world. That's what makes me really excited. And like you said, the actors, obviously Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan, and the one from The Walking Dead,
The woman who plays Michonne, Danai Gurira.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
Lupita Nyong'o, Angela Bassett. Oh yeah, it's like,
jeez, I forgot they were. I mean, there's so many big names.
And you do have Andy Serkis, who is,
and Martin Freeman.
Oh yeah, right, and Martin Freeman. So I mean, you have some really great actors across the board.
They did not hold back with casting.
It looks beautiful.
Here's what I absolutely adore. It's a whole new color palette. The first few movies are very, I want to say they all share the same color palette, which is ridiculous because, you know, Thor, Iron Man, and Captain, they all look very different. They all have different color themes and stuff, but this, all the posters have been like blue and gold, very royal and everything. It just feels like there's a completely different filter over the camera. So,
well, Ragnarok did the same thing.
Exactly. It had like greens colors, and orange and, you know.
I think Marvel Studios learned from Phase 2. You know, they learned that keeping your directors on a tight leash does not provide their best work. You know,
no, I mean,
they were too concerned with continuity in the world and you know, have kind of left that not terrible, you know, it's still, there's still continuity, obviously, but they're letting people do their own things now. And
well, they created some controversy. You have people who left during Phase 2 because of bad juju with the production.
Edgar Wright, like one of my favorite
Natalie
directors.
Natalie Portman refused to come back for the third Thor because, like, she said she didn't even want to make a cameo because she was like, working for Marvel was ridiculous.
Yeah, it would have been complicated to shoehorn her in there anyway. I will say this.
With what the final product is, I completely agree. But starting out with, like, she's an Oscar-winning actress, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think she's great. In fact, I'm really excited for Annihilation, which is her lead. She's the lead
sci-fi movie.
I am really worried about Black Panther from a marketing perspective.
Because Infinity War might be taking it over.
They're already marketing Infinity War instead of Black Panther. I don't mean more than. I mean instead of. When we saw The Last Jedi, we got an Infinity War trailer, not a Black Panther trailer. And Lucasfilm is owned by Disney. Show us both.
But we're talking about best superhero film, not highest grossing. So
you're right. I just, as a side note, I'm worried that a lot of people are going to miss it.
Well, there's some things that are also that are on their Marvel's side with that. Like there was a video of some young black males reacting to a poster, and that went viral. You know, they're like, this must be how white people feel all the time and stuff like that. And there was a lot of controversy. People were like, why does it have to be about white people? Blah, blah, blah.
Because it is. Like, this is going to be the first time little black children have, like, four or five action figures to choose from the exact same movie that look just like them. And that's special. That's cool.
You can buy viral marketing, but that was just a genuine viral video and stuff like that, I think, will help.
It's like all the photos of the little girls looking up at Gal Gadot. Yeah, like, exactly. It's stuff like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, I don't want Marvel to rely on that.
No.
You know what I mean? We should have seen a Black Panther trailer at The Last Jedi. We should have.
I think Black Panther is obviously going to make a ton of money at the box office. It's Marvel. It's got that name attached to it. And everything with Marvel from here on out will make a ton of money based on that name alone.
But define a ton of money, though.
Well, here's my thing. First of all, I'm really bad at numbers, so I can't do that. But it's going to be more like Wonder Woman. Black Panther will have a slower burn. Infinity War is going to be like this big old firework. Like, we're going to see it in theaters, and everybody's going to see it that weekend, and it'll sell out. And maybe it'll have, like, a really good 3 solid weeks, but it'll have a hard drop-off because summer is right around the corner. Black Panther has not a lot to compete with until Infinity War comes out, so maybe it has, like, 2 solid months in theaters.
Well, okay, so
that's all I'm saying.
It does come out mid-February, which is not a good time for movies to come out.
Deadpool did it. Kingsman did it.
You're right. There are 2 examples of movies that performed well in the months of January and February.
In the same genre. They both came out mid-February around Valentine's Day.
But they were both unique R-rated films that were shock surprises at the money that they made. So what I'm worried here is that Marvel is relying too much on their street cred for a movie that will probably be their best movie of the year from a quality perspective. And March is stacked.
It's true.
March has A Wrinkle in Time, Pacific Rim. There's 2 other movies that are coming out that I'm drawing a blank on. There are 4 weeks in a row of new releases in March. So, fair. Black Panther gets 2, maybe 3 weeks by itself.
Okay. We should move on, because we've got, like, half the list yet. Sorry. What do you think's going to bomb the biggest? Not in comparison to Infinity War. It doesn't need to lose that much money, but just, like, compared to what it's...
Han Solo.
I think that has the most potential. And
Solo, a Star Wars story. Whatever
I'm only going to agree with that because of the huge, ridiculous amount of backlash for The Last Jedi. Like, 13,000 fans asking it to be removed from canon. Like, pull your pants up, you whiny baby.
So I did have that, but I had an alternate also because I figured one of you guys would say that. So I picked Ocean's 8. Basically because of the release date.
When's it coming out?
It's coming out 2 weeks after Han Solo, 1 week after Deadpool, 1 week before Incredibles 2, and 2 weeks before Jurassic World.
That's awful.
It's got, like, the worst possible release date. And everybody's going to blame it on women leads and all this stuff, but it's just got a really bad release date.
Because if you don't see it opening weekend, you're taking your kids to see Incredibles. Yep. And then, the week after that, you're taking everyone to see Jurassic World.
Well, and you're still going to have Deadpool and Han Solo in theaters. So what are the chances anybody's going to go see
that maybe
movie?
Ocean's 8 ends up being Baby Driver. Or it's possible. Atomic Blonde.
I'm not saying it's not going to be bad, or it's going to be bad or anything, obviously. I'm just saying that, you know.
That's what I can hope for.
But from a social perspective, it's going to get a lot more heat than Atomic Blonde or Baby Driver would have or did.
Absolutely.
Because of what it is.
It's going to be... Sadly, it's going to be under similar scrutiny as Ghostbusters. And I don't think it deserves it, but it...
Well, it hasn't had a, like, horrible trailer.
And people aren't saying that it ruined their childhood.
Yeah.
It's got a killer cast. They got a lot of really strong actors. But that is rough timing. I don't know. I guess it depends on what would be considered a bomb for that. Because for Star Wars, if Han Solo opens up to, like, Justice League numbers, that's a bomb.
Yeah.
Right? But if Ocean's 8 opens up to...
20 million
to Justice League numbers, that's huge.
Yeah.
Right?
But so, obviously Ocean's 8 is not going to open up to Justice
League. No, I know, but you get my point though, right? So, like, you know, it depends on the film.
I'm thinking, like, Camelot, is that the one that came out this year? King Arthur.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like that, probably. It's just, there's nothing, because, I mean, you're still going to have Deadpool in theaters, and even if it's bad, you're still going to have all the people that didn't get to see it that first weekend going to see it.
Yeah.
You know? I had another one too. I had the Nutcracker down. So, Disney made a Nutcracker movie without telling anybody. It's live action starring Keira Knightley and Morgan Freeman, and you take those two cool things away from it, it looks like an Alice in Wonderland film, which looks completely disappointing. Now, I have high hopes because it's, like, one of my favorite fairy tales, if not my favorite fairy tale, so I've been dying to see a live action Nutcracker that's not just a recording of the ballet, but it's called The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. Like, clearly they're trying to build a franchise here and not just do one really awesome movie, and clearly they're trying to make it gritty and dark and still that Tim Burton whimsy, and I just think people are tired of that. I'm tired of that. I wanted to see this film in the standard beautiful Disney animation style, but they're screwing it up for me. So I don't think, even in November, it's gonna make back what it costs.
I mean, that's a little crazy. Like, it seems weird that Disney would feel the need to keep shoehorning in new content. I mean, they're putting out all the live action princess movies. Mulan comes out this year, you know, and they've got all the Marvel stuff, all the Star Wars stuff, all the Pixar stuff. They're trying to buy 20th Century Fox. Like, do they really need to shoehorn in the Nutcracker?
Which is why I thought, add it to your animated stuff. If you're just going to keep making live action animated, add it to your animated.
I mean, I don't know. I think you make a good point that it's just totally unnecessary. I don't know.
Why did they hide it?
Well, I don't know if they hit it as much as they just have better movies to focus on. And that's my same concern with Black Panthers. It's not that they are trying to hide Black Panther. It's that they really need Infinity War to make $1 billion.
So here's my thing. A Wrinkle in Time, the book came out in the early 2000s, and they have marketed that better and bigger. That is a bigger risk to me. It's
a bigger cast.
it's a small book. The Nutcracker has been around for hundreds of years as a story. Like, people are familiar with it. You guys have seen some sort of version of it at some point. Whereas,
then maybe they I was think in he, it. Maybe they just...
Were you really? Who'd you play?
I don't even remember. It's been you so the long. Nutcracker. No, I wasn't the Nutcracker. I wasn't that good.
That's awesome.
Gosh, maybe, it's been so long. I was third grade. I don't even remember.
If maybe any Kuchers banking. Are watching, I need to see this.
I don't know if there's video. Maybe. My parents have some.
Maybe they're banking on what you're saying, though, that people will just see that there's a poster for the Nutcracker and then just by default take their families to see the Nutcracker around Christmas.
All right.
Maybe that's the plan, right? If it's opening around Thanksgiving, right? Take the family to go see the Nutcracker. It's the Nutcracker.
This is
right?
one of those films where, like, I have the lowest expectations and the highest hopes. Like, I feel like I'm going to pay my money for it and I'm going to walk out sad.
Well, I mean, maybe what would be a bomb for it, I think, is the real question.
Well, a bomb for anything is if you don't make back what costs. Right? Like,
well, I mean, that's a flop, but a bomb, I would think, would be about the same thing as a flop, really.
I mean, it depends on the film, you know. Low-budget films, you know, making their budget back.
I doubt it's a low-budget film. The Nutcracker, I don't think it's going to be a low-budget film.
Definitely not.
Low-budget, maybe, compared to some other Disney movies.
If you only have two big-name actors in it versus A Wrinkle in Time that has, like, six, you know.
Okay.
That one wasn't even on my radar.
I'm very excited for A Wrinkle in Time.
No, not in A Wrinkle in Time. I'm talking about the Nutcracker. Sorry.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about TV. TV shows that you think are going to be renewed. Maybe there are surprises that you think are just a shoehorn at this point. Or new TV shows that just came out this past spring or fall. So.
I think that Black Lightning, which comes out here in a couple of weeks, will get a season two pretty quickly.
I think so, too. That was on my list.
I had not any new shows, really. I guess The Orville has already been announced. I didn't realize it had, but
yeah.
So that one I had on there. I said any of the non-Arrow CW shows are probably going to get renewed, and Rick and Morty season four will probably be announced but not released.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good one. The Orville would have been a guess for mine, but they gave it a season two pretty early on before it's
I must have missed that.
Before it's Thanksgiving break, they did that.
I also put down The Gifted. The season finale is occurring in like the next 2 weeks.
I ended up only watching the pilot, and
I think both The Gifted and The Runaways are gonna get.
I haven't watched The Runaways. It's on my Hulu list, but
there's too many shows.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do think Ash vs. Evil Dead will get another season.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe with all the drama of the showrunners and stuff like that happened in season two. It really depends on how well this season does.
You're totally right.
But with the renewed interest from it being on Netflix will not hurt anything.
I agree with that for sure. I think that it's too popular. It sells very well on Blu-ray. They got the streaming rights on Netflix, which was a big deal. It saw surges in Starz subscriptions, which is really the whole point of them having shows, mm-hmm. right? And so they'll probably try and time it to be opposite American Gods to keep people subscribed for larger chunks of the year. So I definitely expect another season. It'll probably be a year, but I expect by the finale, they'll have announced season four.
Okay. I hope so.
So.
All right, so TV shows you think will be canceled, they can either be new ones that have just been announced.
Arrow.
We were wrong last year.
They won't let it die.
But it's only a matter of time.
I don't think CW...
The Elicity shippers are keeping it alive.
CW does not cancel their shows as soon as they should. Otherwise, we wouldn't have 18,000 seasons of Supernatural.
Well, it's still the number one rated show, though. So, to be fair, I wouldn't cancel Supernatural either. If more people watch that than any other show on my network, why am I canceling it?
But I personally think that it won't be canceled, but Stephen Amell will walk away this season. I think he'll be done, and maybe he comes back for, Flash cameos or something like that, but I think he will walk away.
Yeah, he seems lately, if you look at his social media posts and stuff, I feel like he's not pushing the show as much as he did. And just, yeah.
No, I agree with you guys for sure. And with the addition of Black Lightning, with the success of Supergirl on the CW, The Flash is still as popular as ever. Legends of Tomorrow got a little bit of an upswing even this season.
It's been decent this season.
Yeah,
have you guys watched it?
A little bit, not
much.
Yeah,
a couple
episodes. It's been a lot better than it was last season, I think.
So you have four shows. And they only need four shows.
He name drops Batman this year on purpose. That was his push. So I think maybe he was like trying to hint.
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There you go. I think he was trying to hint at a replacement for his character.
Well, you know, you know, you guys know me. I'm a DC guy. We're not going to have a regular Batman show on the CW. It's not.
Well, we have Gotham, and I think that's about as close as we're going to get. I also had Inhumans. It's pretty much already been canceled, so that wasn't like a big venture. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think will finally... I love the show, but I think that there's been too much pressure by the network to shut down the show and too much Disney going, no, you're keeping it alive!
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it's been really good, but I think that finally they'll have to succumb to the pressure. Once Upon a Time, I think, is going to be canceled. They had really disappointing numbers on their mid-season finale.
It's got a really low score on Rotten Tomatoes currently.
Yeah.
Mostly from, I mean, critics usually just review the first couple episodes after the embargo and then that's it. But fans can go back and back and back and, you know, their score is pretty low. So if the cultish fans of that show don't keep it, then it's done.
Also, at Star Trek Discovery, maybe it's already
been
for season two.
Yeah,
that was purely based on like the people that I've talked to that watched the first episode on TV and were really excited to watch more of it, and then realized they had to buy a subscription package to do it.
So I mean, there's a good number of those people. Don't get me wrong, but they actually beat expected numbers on subscriptions for CBS All Access.
Well, that's nice.
And so,
because young Sheldon wasn't going to do it.
it was already renewed. It was renewed before the mid-season break, but they basically said don't expect it until 2019.
That's fair.
So, so it's going to be a little while,
and then they'll push it back 3-4 more times.
I mean, who knows, right? But it did get officially renewed.
We didn't talk about Netflix shows at all. Jessica Jones season 2, I think, comes out this year.
And so does season 2 of Luke Cage.
I don't think either of those will be canceled. I think one of them was going to be canceled, like, if they were going to not renew for another season, then it would be Luke Cage, probably. But
I think at this point they just, like, merge each other into the shows.
Well, they need to do that with Iron Fist and Luke Cage anyway. Absolutely. We've been all
saying that
since
Iron Fist
is
supposed to be in most of Luke Cage season 2.
I've heard that, which hopefully... Yeah.
And so Bruce Wayne 25 in chat is saying that he had heard that Iron Fist season 2 was going to happen. He's okay with that if they changed a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They hired a female right now, and they're
not changing the main actor, which is one of the things he mentioned.
But they did change the showrunner.
Yeah.
And that's
which is
a big
good,
deal.
Because that showrunner has killed a lot of shows. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big deal because I don't necessarily know that. That the actor, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
Finn Jones.
Thank you. Was the problem.
Well, part of the problem with him was that he was given 2 weeks of martial arts training before they started filming. That's not enough to make a believable best martial artist
not Finn's fault.
No.
Right.
Yeah, none of that is Finn's fault.
Yeah, you change the showrunner, you allow him time to train and practice and get to where he needs to be, which he probably will be in by the time, you know, with Iron Fist or Luke Cage season 2. And being in that, I imagine will be a better version of Iron Fist.
The choreography was also terrible in Iron Fist, which should have been when Daredevil's
been the best
great.
Show.
Daredevil's great, and Iron Fist should have been at the very least on that level or more because it's a martial arts character. You know what I mean?
I mean, you're totally right. I don't know how much of that is hindered by Finn Jones' lack.
It's
of
not.
Experience.
Well, yeah, some of it. They were trying to hide that. Yeah. The best ones were with the woman.
Colleen Wing.
Yeah, she was the best part. I want to see Colleen Wing season 2.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to see.
Or Daughters of the Dragon,
yeah.
Right? That'd be cool.
Well, just like I want to see Heroes for Hire, not Luke Cage season 2.
Right.
I want them...
Does it matter what it's called?
Yes.
Does it?
Because I think that is unique. I think that changes things. I think that is brand new for television. That's something that... American Horror Story is trying to do every year, come up with the same thing, but they end up telling the same story in just different scenarios every year, which is why I dropped that show. But this, changing the name of the show changes the tone of it. If you have Luke Cage, you have this badass from Harlem, and he's like the people's hero, and that's great. You have Heroes for Hire, you all of a sudden have like this buddy cop film, and like,
and which those characters were, their chemistry was some of the best in Defenders. So.
I agree, but don't forget this. People really, Iron Fist was not received well. So calling it Heroes for Hire immediately tells everybody that he's in that almost 50% of the time.
Well,
right. So that's a risky move. If you call it Luke Cage,
or if you call it Iron Fist season 2, which is also confirmed. Like, I don't understand what the difference is. Like,
well, but that's it's a little different because
it would be an up vote for Iron Fist and a down vote for Luke Cage. Basically, is how I look at it. Like, they would be meeting in the middle.
So, but instead, they get the best of both worlds. They get the up vote from Luke Cage. And they get to show everybody that Iron Fist is better than he looked in the first season, and then people will go see season 2 of Iron Fist.
Possibly. I hope so.
This time last year, I would have told you that I wanted them to merge the Netflix with the MCU, and now I don't want that.
Merge there together.
No, so that we see the Defenders in, like, Infinity War.
I kind of like to see, like, Daredevil in Infinity War, because he's been an Avenger. You know,
and I wouldn't mind Jessica Jones showing up. Yeah. Here in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think it would fit in, but, like, just the fanboy in me just kind of wants, like, a shout-out. Like, it shows all the Avengers fighting in space, and then it shows these guys, like, on the streets getting people to safety.
There's so many characters.
Yeah, no, I'm not. It. I'm just saying the fanboy in me wants that, you know?
I'm not sure there's a place for it, because I feel like the level of destruction is
I'm agreeing
too,
with you. I'm high. Saying I don't think it should happen, but the fanboy in me wants it to happen.
I know. I'm trying to talk to the fanboy.
The fanboy isn't listening.
Netflix shows that I think are going to get renewed. I think Glow will have a season 2.
They already confirmed. Yeah, they're already filming it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. That show did really well. Surprisingly fun.
What's the one with the zombie Santa Clarita Diet? I hope that one gets a season 2.
I need to check that out.
It was hilarious.
But Netflix has always been very quick to renew their shows.
They're fast with it.
You know? So, like, Bright is already getting a sequel.
Because, you know, you can tell based on how many people watch it in the first day versus, you know, you have to wait a few weeks for episodes. So
you're right.
I mean, Hulu, Handmaid's Tale got renewed pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. And I heard Future Man was really good. I haven't watched it yet.
I've been meaning to check that out, too.
But that,
they marketed it originally as, like, this sci-fi dystopian drama, and now it looks like
it looks totally different. That's not the vibe I got. Yeah, I got comedy.
Yeah, again, like, sometimes companies aren't great at pitching shows, and they end up being very different from what they are.
Yeah.
You know, I always use Chuck as my example.
So, I had one more show that I think is going to be canceled. I don't think it's going to go over well. That's Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams on Amazon.
Didn't know that was a thing.
You did. We had a whole conversation. You were so excited. It's basically adapting his short stories in, like, this, Twilight Zone kind of show where each episode is a different story. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's going to hit the right crowd at the right time. If Blade Runner had done so much more financially at the box office, maybe it would have, but it's on a weird network. Amazon shows are much less watched than Hulu and Netflix, so I just don't think it's going to really take off.
You're probably right. I haven't heard anything about it, so I don't really have any good input on that one.
Biggest surprises, good or bad?
So I think a good surprise is going to be the movie Alita.
I think
stole
so
mine, son of a gun.
Did I really?
That's actually any good surprises are basically going to be the same as the under the radar film gems. So yeah, I did have an alternate for that one. But yeah, I think Alita is going to be really good. The names,
Robert Rodriguez
is a huge director. There's a lot of people saying it's going to flop because it had a $200 million budget, which is huge for a movie like this.
Yep. That is huge.
And Robert Rodriguez has never directed a movie with that big of a budget.
I didn't know it had that. It doesn't look like it had that large of a budget.
The CG
animation
looks
is
great.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess I'm not sure exactly where. That's a lot of money. Like, well, for perspective, Aquaman and Suicide Squad got $165 apiece. BVS and Civil War got $250.
They aren't set in a dystopian future where they have to, like, build these crazy sets.
Alita
and costumes
has
and stuff.
An incredible following, and I didn't know about it until that first trailer dropped. And now, like, I see all these Alita fans coming out of the woodworks, and they're like, "No, I love this thing since I was a small child." And I'm like, "All right,
I'm not any of those things."
Me
I
either.
Saw the trailer and awesome. Kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah,
like people are like the weird big eyes freaking out. I'm like, "No, that is really cool.
Looks
yep.
great." It really looks great. I've just $200 million is a lot. Like if you take Robert Downey Jr.'s paycheck out of it, Civil War was a $200 million film.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like that's a you know what I mean. So Marvel's pouring that kind of money into their ensemble films.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue that it won't flop because it possibly could. I just really want it to be a good movie. I feel like the trailer had a lot of heart in it.
Yes.
Physically and, you know, emotional heart. She literally hands the guy his heart.
Look at Robert Rodriguez's filmography. That man does not direct things for a paycheck. Otherwise, he would have taken up project after project.
No, but he's had a lot of, like,
he does what he not wants.
Money-making movies. And and a lot of money-making. Like, he's had them on both ends of the spectrum, so it could really go either way.
I see Alita being really good, but also not making very much money, because people don't know what it is.
I'm worried people are going to think it's like Ghost in the Shell and just
not
go see it. It looks really good, though. I have a really good feeling about that movie. I'm really excited about it. And it was, I hadn't even heard of it until that first trailer dropped and I saw it on Reddit.
Yeah,
it was totally on the top of Reddit. I was like, what?
The movie looks so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that.
And all the different robots look really great. Like, all the CG, even in the trailer, which is usually worse CG than what's in the movie.
Good point.
I didn't see any bad CG at all in that trailer.
Good point.
And people argue about the eyes and whatever. That's kind of a person. Like, I get it. That could really bother some people.
Yeah, it's part of, like, that's what she's supposed to look
like.
The
Uncanny Valley is they're using it as a tool.
Right.
Yeah. Like, she's not supposed to look real. That's the whole point. And yeah, I think if people don't.
It looks like my kind of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm psyched. I want to see
it. I definitely agree with you on that.
I think Tomb Raider is going to be better than what people are saying. I think people...
Tomb Raider, that's one of the other March movies.
Yeah, I think people want to be just prematurely disappointed in it because, I mean, let's face it, the Angelina Jolie movies existed to see Angelina Jolie in the outfit and pretty that much. Alone. The stories were pretty much nothing. But this one, the woman went through all kinds of training. She did her own stunts. She made sure that she had a hand in the writing. Like... She's
also an Academy Award winner.
Right. So I really feel like this is going to be one of the better video game movies, if there is such a thing.
Hey, Doom was really good. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You had that first-person action scene.
I loved it as a kid. Now looking at it, I'm
a kid?
Well, teenager.
We were not kids.
Okay, I say kid because I want to be forgiven a little bit for thinking that was cool.
I also think Ready Player One, no matter what it does, it's going to surprise me.
Oh, if, that's the other...
If it ends
in right?
March.
Oh, March.
That's like four big March movies.
I'm going to be surprised if it's a good movie because of what it is. I'm going to be surprised if it does poorly at the box office because of Spielberg and the amount of money attached
and
to it.
And all the names, you know. Well, yeah.
Just,
I mean, all the pop culture references in it.
Yeah.
You're a lot harder on the story than I am.
Well, it's a crap story. Ernest Cline is not a good writer.
Okay. Well.
Look, if a woman would have written this, it would have gotten the same crap as Stephanie Meyer's for Twilight. That book is a dude's Twilight.
Look. I've never read Twilight, and I don't think you have either.
I have not.
Okay, so we don't know that that's true, number one. Number two...
Are you going to make me read Twilight to eat my words?
Yeah,
like,
I am.
Okay.
Because, look, a lot of the problems with Twilight weren't the books, it was the movies. Like, I just didn't read them because I wasn't interested in reading them. Like, I didn't hate the books. Then I saw the trailers for the movies, and that I hate. Okay? Vampires sparkling in the sunlight, BS. Okay? No. But Ready Player One's a very different thing. It's a video game 80s nostalgia story. That's what it is. So if you're going into it wanting more than that, then you're just fooling yourself.
But that's my thing. This is why I draw the comparison to Twilight. This is why I'm saying this, because Twilight relied on horror and romance to create a false narrative. There were poorly underdeveloped characters. There was just a lot of shock and pictures and shiny things to get you distracted.
Shiny vampires.
Literally shiny things. And that's what I feel like this is. I feel like it's a poorly written story with a lot of nostalgia added on top of it to make you think it's good. I truly believe that shoehorning in Tracer and Chun-Li and all these characters in the background, Freddy Krueger, will make people see it, even though it's probably, it's not a good story.
Well, look, they're not shoehorning in those characters. They're just going to be avatars of the Oasis players.
I get that.
Which is pretty accurate.
But that's the thing, though. That's the way it would be. If we all
there is VR chat. Like, there's a game called VR chat, and you get to pick an avatar, and literally you can be almost anything. And there's people running around as, like, anime maids and, like...
People would do that. Like, that,
the Grinch.
And, I think that's realistic versus, like, a teenage girl running off with sparkling vampires isn't a story I'm interested in, okay?
And that's my point. That's why I said it's the dude Twilight.
I don't think it's the dude Twilight. I think it's the gamer and 80s pop culture reference movie. Like, it's not, I think, like, you're being a little sexist by saying that women aren't going to be into the movie.
Whoa, I didn't say that women aren't going to be into it. I'm saying that Twilight usually gets lumped into only girls like this, and I'm saying that this book, the book, I can't say the movie, this book is having the same effect on men, because I posted about this a while ago, and I got my ass chewed out for having this opinion.
I guess when we were listening to the audiobook, you pretended to enjoy it a lot more than you did.
I was also on my phone a lot.
All right. Okay. I'll read by myself then. What else we got?
I had Han Solo as bad, which isn't really a big surprise.
No. Nah.
That was the only other surprise I had, really.
Fair enough. I went out on a limb and said Deadpool 2 as my bad surprise.
It might be, yeah. So, under the radar gems, what other movies coming out this year do you guys want to talk about? Is there anything from, like, a quality standpoint that you're looking forward to that just didn't fall under these categories?
The three movies that I think people will probably skip, but they shouldn't, they're all sci-fi fantasy stuff, but it's Annihilation, Alita, and Mortal Engines.
I had Mortal Engines as my under the radar, other than Alita.
That looks so good.
I think all three of those will end up being pretty decent movies that most people will skip.
I worry a little bit about Mortal Engines. It's Peter Jackson produced,
right?
Not directed. And a lot of people are confused about that. The director is a first-time director.
Yeah.
But the last time Peter Jackson directed stuff, we got the Hobbit movies. So right.
I'm not saying it would be better if Peter Jackson directed it, but what I'm saying is you've got a director that we don't really know anything about. He hasn't done any Hollywood movies.
It's like with Nine. All they did was shove Tim Burton's name in front of it.
Not good.
I hated that movie.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't like it either.
I was in the minority. I got my ass chewed up for that one, too.
The story of Mortal Engines, the synopsis, is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think it has a really good premise, but I'm just worried because, you know, Peter Jackson, all he is a producer, but they're really marketing it with his name all over it.
Yeah, I mean, that's not uncommon for
it's
films.
Not.
When you've got, you know,
but can you name
Snyder
a lot of good films that they do that with?
I mean, Spielberg has his name on stuff all the time.
Yeah, but are they good? I mean, that's my point.
I mean, on the spot, I can't think right now about something he, like, Spielberg produced but didn't direct. I guess Ridley Scott for Blade Runner 2049.
Which bombed.
But it wasn't a bad movie. People just didn't go see it. That's the difference. I'm saying, like,
quality was up there.
Blade Runner 2049 is a very well-made movie. It might be a little long, but it's not terrible. It's not bad. But they were pushing the Ridley Scott aspect of it. That's the first example that comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, I know that there's others that they've done with, you know, oh my God, what's his name? Christopher Nolan, right? His name goes on a bunch of stuff that he doesn't actually direct.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Bay's name was all over the Turtles movies, and he didn't direct either of those, so it happens.
And they were bad.
And he's terrible.
And they were bad.
So.
Yeah. I'm just saying, people
I liked
the
Bad
big
Boys,
name.
Okay?
People
and Bad
use
Boys
the big
too.
Yeah. And Armageddon.
And Armageddon. I actually liked Armageddon.
I did too.
What
Steve
happened
Buscemi.
To him? What happened to Michael Bay, guys?
Money happens.
No, yeah, he got a bigger budget, more explosions. If he had been given a bigger budget for Bad Boys, think of all the explosions it would have been in that.
Bad Boys 2 has a lot
of
explosions.
Good point. That was the start of his downfall, I think.
Transformers 2. Ford gave him all of those recalled vehicles for free, like 150 vehicles, and he didn't have anything better to do than just blow them up.
Well, sure. They're recalled. They're unsafe.
To be fair, if somebody gave me like $200 million and a bunch of vehicles, I'd be like, sure, let's blow them up.
Set them on fire.
I mean, to be fair, the
Wachowskis... Tropic Thunder this.
Yeah, Wachowskis destroyed dozens of cars in the second one that had
the Wachowskis also destroyed like Speed Racer, so
that's a
and
weird
Matrix.
Movie. The Speed Racer movie is a weird freaking movie if you haven't seen it.
Anything else that you guys are looking forward to that we haven't really talked about?
Looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, Under the Radar is a little specific. Like,
I'm looking forward to Aquaman. We didn't really talk about it,
yeah.
Right. But it's not at the top or the bottom of any of my things because...
Same.
You know, DC movies are just so unpredictable at this point. It's very tough to predict.
It it doesn't fit into any of these categories because I don't think they're going to be the best. I don't think they're going to be the worst. I think I'm going to really enjoy them because they appeal to me, and that's two Disney films, A Wrinkle in Time and Mary Poppins Returns.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, we didn't really talk about, but I really loved Ant-Man. I thought it got a lot of crap.
It, like, a superhero rom-com makes me very happy.
With Paul Rudd, yeah. I mean, that's great.
I mean, that's all he did in the 90s.
I mean, him and Chris Evans, like, I would love to have a Chris Evans Marvel rom-com, too, but those are the only two that I can really think that I would really love to see it in a rom-com, you know?
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
I am very excited for Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah, I'm excited for that also.
It looks fun.
I know it's just giant robots basically doing rock'em sock'em with giant monsters. That's great.
Yeah.
Just go enjoy the movie. So I'm really excited for that. And I'm also... I'm actually really looking forward to the live-action Mulan.
I'm nervous because all we have now is one actress. We don't have a director. We have more information about the Aladdin one that comes out in 2019. So
we have as much information for that as we do for Venom.
Yeah. So that's the only thing that makes me nervous. Now, Disney...
And they come out really close to each other.
And Venom has a bigger name actor as the...
Well, that's...
Lead.
Yeah.
Disney makes things happen and Fox and Sony don't. So, you know, I'm not too worried.
I'm not comparing, obviously.
There is also the new Predator movie, which... Just on a 80s action movie fanboy, I'm kind of excited about.
No beefy Adrian Brody, no care.
Yeah, Rachel
bringing
will
that
not
back.
Be seeing it. Throwback to episode like
the worst
70.
The worst of the Predator movies. That's not true. The Alien vs. Predator.
It's not the worst.
Have you seen all the Predator movies?
No,
no.
I've seen
She's seen one.
Okay, so you have no idea.
I've seen Predators. It cannot be the worst. It was like an okay film. It can't be the worst.
You're right. Alien vs. Predator Requiem was worse.
I believe that.
That's
it
the
sounds
only one.
Awful.
The first Alien vs. Predator and both of the other two Predator movies were better.
Including the one with Danny Glover, which
including
is saying a lot.
Including the one with Danny Glover. The end of that movie is great.
Ugh.
Come on, when he brings the Predator onto the spaceship and they all... Oh, come on.
Please don't remind me.
Screw you.
On the spaceship.
Whatever, man.
I'm also going to go out on a limb and say that if you haven't signed up yet, that this year is a really good year to sign up for MoviePass because there's a lot of movies coming out that I would probably not want to spend $10 on, but I'm interested in seeing... So I'll be able to go do that for basically free for
I would
a long
agree
month.
With that.
So especially February, March. Look at all the movies coming out there.
I missed too much in 2017 not to do that. Like, I didn't get to see The Big Sick or Valerian. And I know that's not terrible looking back, but at the time I really wanted to see it.
And I still think you should see it. Like, it wasn't that great, but there was some pretty cool visuals and, like, ideas that are really disappointing.
And we all talked about being sexually attracted to that alien that just walks out and, like, stretches. We were all like...
I'm pretty sure I didn't say
that.
No.
I
know Derek did.
I asked you both. I was like, is that really hot or is that just me? And you were both like, no, that's hot.
I'm drawing a blank.
The alien in
Valerian
that's
who
like,
just walks out and like
I missed that.
I was like, yeah, that's hot, right?
I mean, as far as the movie passing goes, I have on my list 30 potential like theater C movies. 30 in 2018.
How much money would you be spending on tickets for those 30 movies?
Somewhere between 10 and 15 apiece.
So with MoviePass, for you those that don't know, you're spending $10 a month.
And we're not sponsored by MoviePass.
No, we're not.
By the way, I just want to point
out. We're not
fans. Sponsored by anything. We make nothing. Please sign up for Patreon.
Well, we're sponsored by whoever has an ad for us through Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
That's nice.
So if there was an ad that you heard before or at the end of this podcast, we would like to thank those sponsors, whoever they happen to be.
My point in bringing that up was, yes, we're not sponsored, but we are movie fans.
Yes.
And we are not rich. So if you have MoviePass, you can literally spend $120 for the year and see all 30 of those movies. And then more if you want, because you can literally see one movie a day with MoviePass. That's the whole point of it.
I mean, you're totally right. March is a really great example, because there are five movies in a row that release all 5 weekends in March.
And how many of those movies are you really worried about getting spoiled if you don't go see it opening night?
Probably two.
Yeah. I mean, so...
Yeah.
So that means that those other movies, you can go during non-peak times on a weekend and not worry about seating, really, because there's probably not going to be that many people there, and...
Just do it.
Do it. And you're paying $10 for the month, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get you. We talked a little bit earlier about it. But yeah, I mean, 30 movies. I saw 25 in theaters in 2017.
I didn't keep track because I don't care. But
I have a long-running note on Facebook that I started in 2013. So, I play around with it.
Yeah. Every time I get a notification that you edit it, I just don't go look at it.
Do you get a notification for that?
Yeah, because I'm subscribed to you.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. I'm subscribed to you, so I get a notification for anything you do.
I didn't know that an edit on a note provided a notification.
It does.
I'll be more careful.
It says Derek added to a note or something like that.
Sorry. Sometimes it's like incredibly minor, because I didn't know anyone got notifications.
You literally added a period or something. Right. Yeah.
Like, I briefly, like, oh, that one shouldn't be underlined. Like, I didn't realize you guys got notifications for that.
No,
sorry.
It's fine.
All right. Well.
All right. I think that wraps up our 2018 predictions, and we'll see you next year when I am the one who's forced to re-listen to this podcast.
To future Rachel who's listening to this.
Hi.
Hi. I'm still alive. I'm not a robot.
What's it like in 2019?
What the heck? Do I have my hoverboard?
No. Is Star Trek Discovery really coming back for season
2?
It's coming back for season 3.
No, season 2 will be 2019.
That was a joke.
Oh. Okay.
That it had already been renewed. Yeah, you got it. Okay, got it.
Now, this is our first episode of 2019. Our 100th episode is coming up, guys, which is really exciting. So I hope you'll at least tune in for episode 100. We've got lots of cool stuff going on right now. Ray and Jeremy of the Saturday Morning Tooncast are doing a special limited series every Sunday, rewatching the entire MCU. They started last week on December 31st, 2017, with Iron Man, and this Sunday will be The Incredible Hulk. I'm guesting on the Incredible Hulk episode.
And then there's that other one that you got in an email attachment, right?
I did.
I'm not sure about, but I guess we'll...
Well, just so people know, they should be checking out the heroespodcast.com and at heroespodcast on Facebook and Twitter on Friday for something very special.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking forward to it, so you definitely shouldn't tune in.
So next week's a fun episode. Tune in. Kevin Feige announced that they want to do 20 more MCU films, but completely deviating from the Avengers list. So next week, we're going to figure out what those 20 films might be. We'll have a guest on. You'll find out who it is next week.
When you started that sentence with Kevin Feige is coming on the show. Yeah.
Finally.
We made it.
Maybe we'll be gamer heroes in terms of listener count.
Hear that, John?
Nope.
I don't think John listens to this show.
That's why we're
losing.
He
doesn't listen to his own show either, so.
But why would you? I don't listen to my
own
shows.
I like hearing my voice.
You would.
Mm. All right, guys.
All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. Buster Props, Siren Ray, the Star Trek dude.
And we are Heroes Podcast Network.
We are. At Heroes Podcast. Go find us. Give us a review on iTunes. Thanks, everybody. We will catch you next week.
That's licensed music. We're going to have to cut that.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.